Magnify you, God. We glorify you. We exalt you, O God. We just acknowledge that you are God. Indeed, there is nobody like you. There is nobody above you. Father, you have authority, power in the heavens as well as in the earth, O God. We say tonight as we pray, O God, be glorified, be exalted, O God, and let your name, O God, be raised up high, O God, tonight. As we come in prayer, God, we know that we're not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come not in our own righteousness, O God, because our own righteousness is as filthy rags before you, but we come in his righteousness. And as you have made us kings and priests, O God, we come not empty-handed, but we come by the way of the blood. And we say tonight, O God, as the words that David spoke in the days of old, hear our prayer, O God, tonight. Attend to our supplication. Position us, O God, to be in alignment with what heaven has decreed, with what heaven has declared concerning this hour, that which you had in mind, O God, when you formed this hour, God, before the foundations of the world. Bring us into alignment with that. Let our prayers, O God, avail much tonight for your praise and for your glory. We first and foremost, O God, thank you for the men and the women that are on the prayer line tonight. We thank you for the things you intend to do in their lives, for how you intend to move, reposition, O God, and realign things in their lives. We thank you for the great way you are moving in their homes, the way you are moving in their spirits. We give you praise, Father, for the doors you are opening for them, even for the doors that you are closing before them. We glorify you and we exalt you for the level of elevation, for the level of uplifting and raising that you are doing in their lives. There is nobody else who could do it but you, O God. We thank you for the grace you are bestowing upon them, for the mercy that you are extending towards them day and night. Thank you for the provision that you have released into their lives, O God. Provisions for peace, provisions for joy, provisions for strength, O God. Whatsoever they need, you are showing yourself to be the all-sufficient God, manifesting the word that you said you will supply all their needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for remaining faithful to them and the promises that you made in their lives, that everything that is working in their lives, O God, you are making sure that it is working for their good indeed. We thank you for the great things that you have lined up for them, not only for them, but for their sons and their daughters, even every member of their families. For you promised in your word that you will perfect everything that concerns them according to Psalm 138. And Father, you are doing it, O God, before their very own eyes. Prayers that they prayed generations ago, years ago, you are manifesting them, O God, now, bringing them into fulfillment, prophetic destiny. And Father, we just thank you for all that you have done, for the financial blessings you are releasing into their lives, O God. It can only be you, O God. We are indeed acknowledging that the heavens are your throne and the earth is your footstool. That, Father, you own a cattle on a thousand hills, that all the silver is yours. And all the gold is yours, O God, and you give them at your pleasure to whomsoever it pleases you to do so. So we thank you, O God, that we receive this not because we have merited it, O God, not because we have worked for it, but because of your grace and your mercy. We thank you, O God, for your grace that always makes a difference in our lives. We know that within ourselves, O God, we cannot do anything to attain that which you have laid before us. You are indeed a good God. Thank you for life that you have spoken over us, O God. If it had not been for you and the breath that you put in us, we wouldn't be here. But God, you have been so gracious to give us life, not just life, but to give us life in abundance, O God. We thank you. And we praise you that through the challenges of life, O God, you have remained a constant companion. You have been an ever-present help in the time of need, even in the time of trouble. Your name has provided for us a refuge and a fortress. You say those who are righteous, O God, will run into it and they are safe. We thank you, O God, for continually overshadowing us with your wings, watching over us, protecting us from dangers seen and dangers unseen, for giving us strength, O God, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to be able to withstand our adversary. We thank you for continually raising up a standard in our lives, oh God, against our adversary, for making sure that, oh God, even though we are a little lower than the angels, but you have given us victory over our adversary. We thank you, oh God, even for the words you continually speak over us, words of hope, words of strength, oh God, words of faith you continually release over us. Father, you already declare that without faith it is indeed impossible to please you, but you made provision, oh God, that the creature that you made, oh God, will live according to the faith of God because you are imparting it to us. We give you thanks, oh God. We give you praise, O God, for giving us the ability to be able to go beyond the dimensions of our worlds through faith, that we can see things that are not yet, O God, and we have the confidence of calling them as though they were, knowing that the word has given us the promise is coming from a God who never fails, a God who never lies, a God who never repents for what he has said he is going to do. We thank you, O God, for the promises that are yes and amen in you, that you are establishing in our lives. We thank you, O God, for all that you have done. Our hearts are filled with gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving. Father, we know the joy of coming before your presence, the joy of just being with you, O God, to hear your voice, O God, and to have a desire just to please you, O God. There is nothing that compares, O God, to just being in your presence. And we just echo the words that the psalmist said, oh God, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, because there is nothing more valuable, nothing more restful than to be in the presence of our Maker. We thank you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. Words are never enough, oh God, for what you have done for us, oh God. We thank you for continually, oh God, watching over us, our families, oh God. They are blessed, oh God, because of your faithfulness. Our sons and our daughters prosper, oh God, because you have been faithful. God, as David declared, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. We thank you for that word that is never changing, that you apply that word in David's life, and in our day that word still works. We thank you for the never changing word. And Father, as you declared by the prophet Malachi, you said you are God and you change not in the third chapter. We thank you for being an unchanging God, ever consistent and constant in our lives. We can call you the anchor in the midst of the storm, knowing that, God, you will never disappoint. Oh God, your power, God, never wanes. Your power never fades. Your power never fails. You are still able, oh God, in whatever season of life, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You are still able, oh God. You are the God of the miracles, God of the supernatural. You are still working wonders in our midst, oh God. Father, we see your hand moving and operating in the earth, oh God, undeniably, oh God, that it is your hand that is moving in our midst, oh God, because we know within ourselves we could not do what God is doing in our midst. How you are changing the hearts of men, how you are changing nations, oh God, how you are changing generations, oh God, how you are changing cities, oh God, how you are turning hearts of kings, oh God, towards you. There is nobody else who can do such a thing but our God. We thank you, oh God, that you are the one who causes the weak to cry out that I am strong, and you are the one who causes the poor to cry out that I am rich because of what God has done. God, you are the one who causes those that are suffering affliction in sickness to cry out, I have been healed. We thank you, O God, that you are still doing the supernatural, O God. You are still the one whose favor, O God, rests upon us. And because the favor you have bestowed upon us, O God, men do what they normally wouldn't do, because the favor of God cannot be denied. We thank you, you, O God. We praise you, O God, that we see ourselves, O God, being raised up according to your word, O God, where you said you shall set us above and not beneath, O God, where you said, O God, we shall be the head and not the tail. We see your hand, O God, raising us up, lifting us up, O God, even from places where humanity has said it is impossible. But there is nothing that is impossible with you, O God. In the midst of adversity, O God, you make a way where there seemed to be no way. Father, unmistakably, O God, undeniably, O God, you are still the God who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You are the one who causes us, O God, to be at ease and to be at peace in the midst of the storm, because you are the anchor, you are the refuge, O God. You are the one who is able to sustain us in the midst of adversity, in the midst of the storm, O God. You are the one who carries us in the palm of his hands. We thank you, O God, that at the appointed time, O God, you will not allow the winds and the storms of life, O God, to overwhelm us, O God. If it need be, you will deliver us from the storm, O God, or you will command the storm to be still and it will obey your command. We thank you, O God, for such authority that is in your word, that you have even exalted above your name, your word that you said never changes, your word that you said never fails, your word that you said will prosper, your word that you said will accomplish everything that you have sent it to accomplish. We thank you, O God, for the perfecting work that your word is doing in us, sanctifying us, O God, saturating us, O God, with the divinity within us, O God. We thank you for the words you are writing in our hearts, O God, that we may not sin against you. We thank you, O God, for your word that is opening up our minds, for your word that is opening up our ears, for your word that is opening up our eyes, O God, to see that there is greater significance, purpose, and meaning to life than what we have been told by the world. We thank you, O God, that you did not leave us nor forsake us, O God, but you made a way for us to be reconciled and restored with you, O God. Oh, what a marvelous and a wonderful God you are, O God. There is nobody else who can do what you have done, to take, O God, these pieces of clay and mold them, O God, to be people that you desire, let alone for you, God, to call us the apple of your eye, O God. What a marvelous God you are. We are reminded, O God, of the words of the psalmist when he said, who is man that thou art mindful of him? But God, you made us a little lower than the angels, yet you gave us charge over the works of your hands. And O God, above it all, you sent your son to die for us, O God, to shed his blood and to let up of his life, that we may be redeemed, that we may be restored, O God, unto you. Who, God, is the word says, O God, there is no greater love than this, O God, for your son to lay down his life for us, O God, that we may be reconciled with you. There is no other words, O God, that can be sufficient, O God, to say thank you for all that you have done for us, O God. And not only that which we have seen, O God, but there are great things you have laid out for us, O God, in the days that are coming. There are great things you have already established, O God, that we are about to walk into, that we are about to enter into, O God, just because you are a gracious God. We thank you, O God, for causing us to rejoice and celebrate, O God, for the future days that are coming, knowing that our days are in the palm of your hands, O God, and you are a God who always has good thoughts towards us. You are giving us a hope and a future, working things, O God, to bring us to that expected end, not our expected end, O God, because our envisioning of it, O God, is limited, but your expected end, oh God, that supersedes all that we could ever ask, that supersedes all that we can ever think, supersedes all that we can ever enter into the hearts of men. We thank you, oh God. We praise you, oh God, for that great end, for that great expected end you are delivering us into. Father, you had even no reason to order our footsteps, but God, according to the counsel of your own will, you say the Lord will order the footsteps of a righteous man, not ones who are covered in their own righteousness, oh God, but you have imparted righteousness unto us, oh God, that you may be able to lead us and guide us, oh God. And we are mindful as well, oh God, tonight, that as we pray, your word says the prayer of a righteous man, oh God, will avail much, oh God. It's not because we have the power, but because the power rests in the palm of our God, that as we pray, he moves on our behalf, oh God. We thank you that as we pray tonight, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness are being rendered powerless because our God is moving on our behalf, oh God. You are canceling every ordinance, oh God, every writing that has been set to work against us, oh God. You are working constantly and consistently, oh God, doing great and mighty things in our lives. You are the one who's causing us, oh God, to be liberated, oh God, from generational curses and generational sins, establishing us as a new people unto our God. We thank you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We praise you, God. Tonight, let our thanksgiving and our gratitude, oh God, be received unto you, oh God, for it is coming from hearts, oh God, that are overflowing with joy, hearts that are overflowing with gladness, oh God, just because you are our God. Father, the things that you have done, oh God, cannot be compared to your greatness. The love that you have shown us, oh God, cannot compare to the love that you are yet to show unto us, oh God. We thank you for continually shedding your love abroad in our hearts, oh God, that we might be able to love as much as you love us, that we may be able to love our neighbors as much as you love us. Thank you, oh God, for allowing us to experience the genuineness and the truthfulness of love as you render it towards us, oh God. We thank you indeed, oh God. We remember those words when they say, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have been good, oh God. We have tasted, oh God, and we have seen your goodness, oh God. We stand here, oh God, tonight to affirm and reaffirm that yes, the Lord is good. The Lord is good, and so are all his ways. He is excellent in everything that he has done. He has shown himself to be the most brilliant God that any man can ever think of. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can you just imagine in your mind that God made his angels, as the book of Hebrews says. It says he gave them to be ministers unto the heirs of salvation. Angels that are rendering service unto God, God has given them charge to be ministers unto the heirs of salvation. They are ministering unto us. Ah, what a wonderful God. That the angels of God are going forth right now, warring on our behalf. That the angels are going forth right now, gathering what must be brought into our lives. That the angels right now are going forth, orchestrating divine appointments and divine engagements, because God has ordained them to, and because they have seen the love of God towards us, they walk in obedience to what God has said. For God to send his angels to minister to his fallen creation. What a wonderful God he is. What a wonderful God he is. And I want just to remind somebody here tonight, it doesn't matter how far you think you are from God, you can never be out of reach from God. God is able to stretch forth his hand and pull you out of any situation that you might find yourself in. Men can say you are over and done with, they are writing you off, but God is the one who has the final say. He is the one who has the final word for your life, and God has not written you off. Somebody say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how sin has been ravaging your life. God is able to pull you out of any sin, restore you, bring you into a place where you are not going to be under the bondage of that sin, but you are going to be living a life that is free from the power, a life that is free from the authority of sin. And here is the good thing about God: when he redeems, when God restores, when God pulls you out, some of the spiritual consequences that are associated with your sin, God is also going to deal with them, so that your adversary cannot raise them up as accusations in the courts of heaven to disqualify you from what God is going to release into your life. So it's not about how long you have been walking with God, how long you have been serving God, but it's about how much your heart has been opened to receive him. You may have just started walking with God yesterday, and God still loves you the same as he loves those ones who has been walking with him for 40, 50 years. That's how marvelous and magnificent our God is. And I want to let you know right now, in the name that is above any other name, when we speak about the love of God, God says there is no respecter of persons with him. You may have a title or you may not have one, yet God still loves you. He sent his son to die for you before you even knew him. Whilst you were still in sin, he sent his son to die for you. He did this according to what John said. He said, for God so loved the world, when you were still yet a sinner, God made a way for you because he loves you. The word of God says that we are more than convinced that neither angels, nor powers, nor principalities shall be able to separate us from the love of God. God was not compelled by any other man. God was not compelled by any other spirit to show you his love. God, out of the counsel of his own will, made a decision, made a determination that he is going to extend his love towards you. He did not consult with any man. He did not consult with your enemies. He did not consult with your loved ones. Decide to extend his love, his mercy, and his grace towards you. It was according to the volition of his own will, his own counsel, that he made a decision. And no man can cause God to change his decision to love you. Somebody say hallelujah. That in itself is a liberating word. And you have to understand that our God does not begin a thing and not finish it. He is faithful to complete the work that he has begun. He has begun a work of restoration in you, and his intention is to complete the work of restoration, not to bring it to a place where you are respected by people, but to bring you into a place that is in divine alignment with his original intent for your life. God is manifesting not people's expectations for your life, but he is manifesting through you the original divine destiny, the original plan that he had before he spoke you into existence. That's what God is restoring you into. And what God had in mind concerning you before the worlds were even formed cannot big compared to anything that man can ever envision for you, because it is greater, because it is coming from a God who is greater. And peradventure, I say, where you are standing right now, things may not seem to be going your way, but God is in the midst of it. At the appointed time, it is going to turn in your favor. It is going to work in your favor. And I feel like I need to prophesy over somebody right now that your season is coming to a change. Your season is about to turn. Where your identity was established by the dire condition that you have been finding yourself in, it's about to change. You are going to lead to believing on the other side of the testimony, where you are going to be looking back at how God brought you out of what you were going through. And when you are standing on the other side of the testimony, on the other side of saying, this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in my sight, men are going to be astounded. But you won't be astounded because you know that your God is able. You know that God can do great and mighty things. And I pray that when that season changes, there is going to be a song of praise and a song of rejoicing that is coming from you. And I want just to let you know that the tears you've been crying in the midnight hour, God has not forgotten them. And he's saying, none of your tears were lost, none of the drops were lost. God has been gathering them and he has brought them before him for a memorial. And something is about to happen in your life. Your enemies are going to be confounded. And here's the thing that I want to say here, just to let you know, God is not doing this to confound your enemies. God is doing this because he intends to bless you. He intends to make you greater. The enemy being astounded, that's a complimentary bonus as a result of what God is about to do. And here's the thing, the enemy has been speaking death over you, but God has been overriding every decree. He has been overriding every declaration that has been made concerning your life. For God is the life giver, and he is the one who has numbered your days and not your adversary. I want to let you know right now, in the name of Jesus, do not be afraid of waking up in the morning hour, because it is going to be a day that has been made by God, and you are going to rejoice and you are going to be glad. And by virtue of me saying that, I have just seen somebody who is afraid of what they think tomorrow is going to be like. There is a situation that you are facing right now, and you think, I don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow because of what I am likely going to be facing. But I want to let you know that God has already gone into your tomorrow, and he is saying, I have made the crooked places straight. I have brought down the mountains. I have raised up the valleys. You are going to walk through, and as you are walking through the day, be mindful. You are not walking through the day on your own, but you are walking with God. And as you are walking with God, remember, you are walking with the one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. At his roar, everything that stands in the way has to pay attention. And at his roar, everything that stands in the way has to go into hiding. And the word of God specifically says that your God is the Father of light, and in him there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And it specifically says that when light appears, darkness has to flee. So the darkness you are thinking is in the day tomorrow cannot withstand the light that God is going to bring into your day. I declare and I decree what David said when he was writing the 23rd Psalm. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ah, Rabbah. So, and therein lies in the revelation that as you are walking through the day, you are the sheep of his pasture, and God is the good shepherd. He will not leave lead you into paths of destruction, but he is going to lead you into paths of life, paths of righteousness. Therefore, this is going to be the best day that you have ever lived, because you thought you were not going to make it, but with God on your side, who can be against you? With God working on your behalf, who can withstand what he has declared concerning you? Who can reverse what God has declared concerning your life? There is nobody that is greater than him, nor is there anybody that can be compared to him. He is God all by himself, and no one can reverse the word that he has spoken over you. I declare and I decree right now in the name of Jesus, you are not going to prevail in your own strength, but God spoke by the prophet Zechariah when he said, "Tell my servant, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And you have to, I feel like prophesying over somebody here. You have to realize that when the Holy Spirit of God gets involved with the word that God has spoken, something is about to happen. Something is bound to happen. And God gave us a picture already. It says when the earth was without form and void, when the earth was covered in darkness, his spirit was hovering, and under that hovering spirit a word was spoken, "Let there be," and something happened. Creation came into being. And just in case you have forgotten, the word of God does not change. The processes of God still work the same way, because there was a woman who had never known a man, and she said, "How shall this be?" When God said, "You are going to be the mother of your Savior, the mother of your Lord," and God said, "I have spoken a word over you, but there is a spirit that is going to overshadow you. And when that spirit overshadows you, you are going to conceive." I want to let somebody know here, you may not have the right DNA according to man's calculation. You may not have the right genealogy according to man's statistical studies. You may not have the right economic position according to the economics of man. But when God gets involved, he is going to violate every law of man, because he operates according to the supernatural law, a law that is of a higher order, a law that supersedes natural law. That means in the midst of your subdivision, in the midst of your neighborhood, in the midst of that part of the city, something greater is going to come through, because God is releasing a word over a hovering spirit in your life, and something is about to be conceived in you that no man can ever cause. Can I just testify of the power that resides in the Spirit of God and what God is about to do? I feel like a preacher just rising up in my spirit tonight, but I know I'm supposed to be praying, but I have just had to drop this word in your spirit. The word of God says that you must never be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You must be yoked with something that is at the same level or at a higher level than you are. I want to let you know that when Christ was conceived, it was under a hovering spirit that Christ was conceived. And Christ said, I'm coming for a bride. And the bride of Christ had to be conceived in the world. It had to be conceived of something supernatural. That's why he said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you have received power from on high." That on that day there was a spirit that was released, beginning the creation of his church that is going to be married to Christ at his return. With such power Christ was conceived, with such power the church was conceived, with such power. You were brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. And with such power, there are great things that are going to be released in you and through you that are going to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God in the earth. And notice here, God does not excuse anybody. God does not look at your age. If God can do it for Sarah, if God can do it for Rachel, if God can do it for Elizabeth in the New Testament, who had gone beyond her childbearing age, yet God caused her to be a mother. When God can say in the days of old, many are the children of the desolate, that those who were barren are going to be called mothers of many, surely God is going to do something through you. It doesn't matter how old you are, when God gets involved, there is bound to be an acceleration of time, if that is what it takes. If it is not the acceleration of time, then God is going to cause the sun to stand still. Oh, can I just speak over somebody here tonight in the name of Jesus, that there are some things that need to be done in a day, and God is going to accelerate those things so that they can be accomplished in the day. Sometimes those things can be so many to be accomplished in the day. God is going to literally stop the progression of time in your day, that you may be able to accomplish everything that God has said must be done in that day. There is a power that God is releasing over your life. You are getting into a season. I want to call the season a season of hyper productivity, a season of hyper productivity, a season of hyper productivity, a season of hyper productivity. And when I speak that word hyper productivity, I want to say your prayers are going to do so much more than what they were doing in the season before. Your worship is going to do so much more than what your worship was doing in the season before. Your thanksgiving and your gratitude is going to do so much more than what they were doing in the season before. That specifically means your praise has brought you to a place, but now your praise is taking you to a place that is deeper. Your praise is taking you into a place that is higher. Your praise is literally opening doors of greater significance than you ever thought were dimmable in your life, because God is saying, I am accelerating things in you and through you. I declare that there is going to be a magnification, an amplification of your ministry. Its level of influence is going to grow because God is accelerating your season. Your words are going to have so much power that when you speak them over people, when you release them, their lives are going to be changed. It's not you that is changing their life. It is the power of God that is being released through you that is literally going to change people's lives. I declare that you thought your best days were over and done with, and God is saying the best, I don't want to say the best is yet to come. You are walking into the best now. You are going to see great and mighty things. I just want to tell somebody, through your hands, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to take place. You are even going to be astonished. God, I never thought this would happen in my life. And God is just saying, just wait and see what more we are going to go through you. Just believe, stand on my word, walk uprightly before me and see the great and mighty things I am going to do in your life. I declare that you are going to see wonders. You are going to see wonders. You are literally, you are literally going to walk in a season where you are going to live the reality of your dreams. You are thinking you are going to have deja vu moments, but you are really living that which you were dreaming. You are going to see a manifestation that you were dreaming. And I want to pray over somebody. You have seen yourself preaching in your dreams, and God is saying, I'm going to show you what platforms you are going to preach now in real life. I'm going to give you a word you are going to preach in real life. life. I'm going to give you a message that you are going to release in real life. Somebody here, you have seen yourself laying hands on the sick and them being recovered and being healed. And God is saying, I am moving that from the metaphysical realm. I'm bringing it now into the natural realm. People are going to be healed as you speak. People are going to be healed as you lay hands on them. People are going to be restored as you pray over them. You are going to see supernatural things. Hearts that are broken are going to be mended. Families that have been eviscerated by the enemy, God is literally going to restore, use you as a vessel and an instrument to bring restoration. I declare, and here's how it's going to happen. It's going to begin with your family. Long lost sons are coming back home. Long lost relatives are coming back home. And some that you have had arguments with, forgiveness is going to reign in your midst. I see reconciliation. I see reconciliation. And I want to just make a prophetic declaration that when you get to Thanksgiving this year, it is going to be the best Thanksgiving of your life, because your relationships are going to be restored. Just mark my words that when that day comes of Thanksgiving this year, it is going to be different from any other thing. Thanksgiving, because there are so many that are going to be gathered together. There won't be any fightings, there won't be any arguments, because God is going to show you that I've been hearing your prayers. I'm hearing your prayers. There is a restoration that is taking place. And I want to pray, Father, right now over their children. Break drug addictions in the name of Jesus. Oh God, liberate them tonight. Set the captives free, oh God, not by might, nor by power, but you say by your spirit, oh God. Wherever they are right now, God, let there be angelic visitations. Let conviction come, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Those that are high, oh God, I command soberness to come right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Those that are drunk, oh God, I command soberness to come right now as you are visiting them, God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you and I praise God. I just pray right now for the breaking of illegal associations in their lives, oh God. Breaking of illegal alliances, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Bad demonic influences being broken right now. God, right now, we command the dissolution, oh God, of those relationships that are leading them astray. God, we take authority now, God, over every area of their lives, and we release the grace and the mercy of God. You say, God, your grace is sufficient. We release the sufficient grace of God over their lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We pray. God, your word says, oh God, you order their footsteps, oh God, right now for your praise and for your glory. They were thinking of going to places that they should not be going. Send forth your angels, oh God, to close every door. Send forth your angels, oh God, to close every pathway, God. Send forth your word, oh God, to take away that desire to go down that road, to go down that pathway for your praise and for your glory. We come against every enticement. We come against, oh God, every temptation that has been laid up against them. We declare today is not your day. You are not going to prevail over our sons and cause them to come into sin. We speak the righteousness of God over them right now. We speak the grace of God over them right now. We speak the mercy of God over them right now in the name that is above any other name. And I want to pray furthermore, there are some of our children that are walking uprightly before God. They are in their beds right now. We speak the blessings of God over their lives right now. As they are sleeping, may God release witty inventions, ideas that are going to prosper them in every area of their lives. May God strengthen relationships that are helping build them up in the name of Jesus. And Father, into their lives, we speak empowering partnerships for your praise and for your glory. I thank you, O God, for what you are doing right now in their midst. I thank you, O God, for what you're doing right now as they sleep. God, you visited Joseph in his childhood and revealed to him what his future is going to be. Right now, God, visit our sons and our daughters. Visit our sons and our daughters and reveal to them the future that you have laid out for them, that they can have that as their anchor, as the mark that they press towards to walk uprightly all their days. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I want to say something here. Sometimes we go through life and we think we have been forgotten. We go through life and we think we have been forgotten. I want to say it again. Sometimes we go through life and we think we have been forgotten. Sometimes we go through life and we think we have been forgotten. I want to let you know that God has not forgotten you. And I want to give you a biblical example as to why I'm saying God hasn't forgotten you. See, David was forgotten by his father. He was on the backside of the mountain when the priest of God came, when the prophet of God came to anoint the king. He was coming for a visitation, and the father did not know that he was coming to anoint a king. But God remembered David. God knew who David was. And they would not sit down to eat until David came and Samuel did what he needed to do. There are some places that men are not counting you in. They are not calling you. But the things that they want to do are not going to move, because God is saying, it is your moment. It is your season. It is your time. So you are going to find yourself. I just prophesy right now, unexpected call-ups in the name of Jesus. Unexpected call-ups in the name of Jesus. You are going to be called. You are going to be called unexpectedly. Let me just say this. I feel that there is somebody here. You thought you were bypassed for the promotion because you missed the deadline, but they are going to call you for it in the name of Jesus, because this is your season, this is your time, and this is your moment. In the name of Jesus, your season, your time, and your moment. Your season, your time, and your moment. You are not going to be denied. This is what God has said. You are not going to be denied. You are literally going to be astonished that they're going to call you even though you didn't apply for that position. But God's favor is coming on you in the name of Jesus. God's favor is coming on you in the name of Jesus. God's favor is coming on you. And Father, over your daughters right now, I release creativity. I release creativity. I release creativity. I release creativity. I release creativity in the name of Jesus. See, the Word of God always speaks about the works of our hands. The works of our hands speak about creativity. I release that over you. Creativity. You're going to be so creative. Ideas that are going to be just overflowing in your spirit and in your soul. They're going to come. And I want to pray this prayer. I know I'm almost done with my time, but I want to pray this prayer. You have to understand that as we are engaged in prayer, there are certain things that God has laid out for the future of a man. There are some things that God has laid out that he says at an appointed time, these witty inventions must be removed from the realm of the spirit into the natural realm. And God is going to require a womb. Somebody say hallelujah. God is going to require a womb to be able to birth that thing that he has already ordained. For example, Steve Jobs was a womb that God has already had ordained to bring forth an iPhone. That's a womb that God had put in place because he knew that communication was going to be vital. So what God is doing now, he is going to position you as a womb for the next inventions that are coming. He is going to position you as a womb for the new ideas that are coming. And that's going to come with creativity. Now, here is the difference. When you are doing creativity in the realm of man, you go and you work. As you are working, ideas begin to spark because of what you are observing and what you are seeing. But when you are dealing with the witty inventions from the God realm, God is going to allow you to create something before a need even arises. He's going to give you an idea before the need even arises. And here's the thing that I want to emphasize here, because God wants to give you ownership of the thing that is coming in the future. He is going to make a deposit in you now so you can have faith. For that thing which is coming. If you read your Bible and you look at the Amplified Version from on the definition of faith according to Hebrews 11 verse number 1, Hebrews 11 verse number 1, according to the King James Version, it says faith is what is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But according to the Amplified Version, it says faith is the title deed for the thing that is not yet seen. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. It is the title deed for the thing that is hoped for. Somebody say hallelujah. It is the title deed. So what God is doing is God is giving you an idea. God is giving you a dream. God is giving you a vision so that he wants to put a title deed for that thing coming in the future into your hands. So creativity is coming. Now, if there is somebody here, I don't know who you are, but there is somebody here who does work with their hands. And God is saying there are some inventions that are coming. And God is saying you need to understand how the patent process works. How the patent process works, because you're going to patent your works, you're going to patent your idea, and God is saying you have to know how it's going to work. Here's the thing, if you don't know how it's going to work, you are going to lose your invention. Somebody's going to own it, and generations that are supposed to be benefiting from your invention are going to lose their inheritance because of a lack of understanding on your part. So go and begin to study how it works. How do you file a patent for your work? How do you protect your intellectual property? You have to begin learning that because of what God is going to release. And here's what God is saying right now. You are not going to do the labor to produce the thing. You are going to own the idea, and you are going to be paid a handsome amount of money because you own the idea. You own the invention. You are not going to make it. They're going to come and pay you for your idea. They're going to come and pay you for your thought. Because God is going to give you an exemption from the manual labor. He's not giving an exemption from labor. He's giving you an exemption from the manual labor. Your part of the labor is to birth that thing. Your part of the labor is to labor for that thing in prayer, to labor for that thing from the metaphysical realm into the spirit realm, into the natural realm. And here's what I want to say. Oh, I'm almost done. When I speak about us being, we speak about us being wombs that God wants to use to birth something in the earth. Here's the thing. What God has said is going to be birthed in the earth through you is no longer in the realm of the spirit. It is in your spirit. It is no longer in the realm of the heavens. It is in your spirit. But what God wants to do is he wants to get you into a place where your spirit can interact with your mind. where your spirit can interact with your mind. I'm going to say it again. God wants to get into a place where he can put you in a quiet place so that your mind can interact with your spirit, because all the witty inventions through prayer, supplication, and your fasting, you have been able to pull those things on the realm of the spirit into your spirit. Now God is saying, I want you to get into a place where my spirit can speak to your mind. My spirit can project what is in your spirit into your mind so that your mind can begin to conceptualize it. Your mind can begin to conceptualize it. So now you're going to begin praying, God, allow my mind to be able to see what you downloaded into my spirit so that I can manifest it in the natural realm. It's already there. It's already there. It's already there. But God is saying, your mind has to catch up with what I put in there. And here is the fundamental issue that is there. What God is about to down, what God has put in your spirit that is going to facilitate the projection into your mind. The problem that is there is that your mind does not have the mental models. Your mind does not have objects that can concretize the idea that is in the spirit. So what God is literally doing is taking you through a process where he is building up or stocking up your object library. He's building up your object library. He's building up your object library so that when God begin to project those things into your mind can use the objects in your that are deposited in it now to be able to formulate a physical representation, to be able to formulate a mental representation, to be able to formulate a cogitation, to be able to formulate a mentation that utterly represents what God has put in the spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. I know that I've just said a lot, but God is literally wanting your mind to be able to be a film, to be able to capture what is being projected to it. Hallelujah. So I believe that creativity is being released because of what God wants to do. That's where your elevation is. That's where your elevation is. That's where your elevation is. It's in owning the idea. And as you were praying, God has given you the legal document, which is the title deed for that thing. And if you don't act on it, you will forfeit it, and somebody else will make a generic, and the generic that going to make is going to be regarded as the authentic thing because the one who had the original idea did not manifest it. In the name of Jesus. So I pray now that God begins to enlarge your mind. God begins to enlarge your capacity. God begins to enlarge. Oh God, Avarando Shorebe. I want to tell somebody here, stop trying to undervalue yourself. Stop trying to undervalue yourself. You always say, I don't think I'm qualified to birth this. I don't think I'm qualified to birth this. And this is what the Lord just wants me to tell you. Did you think you are qualified to birth your son? When you look at yourself, but God knew that you were qualified and he gave you your child. So don't say, God, I don't think I'm qualified to birth this business. God gave it to you. Don't question God's judgment. He gave it to you because he knows your capacity. He knows your ability. Just trust him. Just trust him. He knows what he is doing. He knows what he is doing. He knows, I'm going to say it again, God knows exactly what he is doing. Just trust him. The word of God specifically says, lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. Just trust him. Just trust him and leave the rest to him. I want to remind you of the words of Isaiah. It says, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. That wait. So just stand steadfast on the word of God, and God will bring you through. God will cause this thing to be birthed through you. You already have the title deed. Don't forfeit it. Somebody say amen. Now, can I just, I'm gonna throw something in there. I got about 4 minutes. 2 minutes, actually, for my time here. I want to throw this for you. See, sometimes we operate ignorantly. We operate unwisely. In our foolishness, in our ignorance, we allow the enemy to attach a lien to what God has given us because of our ignorance. Anybody hearing me? We allow the enemy to attach a lien to what we have so that we don't have ownership of it, because the lien holder has first dibs to what you have because of ignorance. So you begin to doubt yourself, so you go sell the idea. Is the enemy putting a lien on your thing? But right now I pray in the name of Jesus that God's going to give you wisdom not to enter into a lien agreement, not to mortgage that thing, not to mortgage that idea, because it's for the benefit of your children's children, in the name of Jesus. Let me just give you a biblical example. You see, when Abraham was digging wells, he wasn't digging wells for Isaac. He was digging wells for Jacob. 3 generations. When Jacob built a well, it wasn't for his children, the 12 tribes. He was thinking about the woman of Samaria who will be by Jacob's well having an encounter with Jesus. Anybody hearing me? So there are some things you are building right now. You have to preserve them in integrity. Preserve them by the Spirit of God, because they are not for you. They are for your children's children. Long after you are gone, they will be rejoicing because God gave you the idea in your generation. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your sons and your daughters. I thank you, O God, for the great things you are doing in them and through them. I thank you, O God, for the special election that you have made concerning them. Nothing qualifies them, O God, but your grace has qualified them. Your grace has made the difference. It has covered for their shortcomings. So we give you praise. We give you glory for all the excellent things that you have done. All this, O God, we pray in the name of the author and the finisher of our faith, the high priest of our confession, the captain of our salvation, the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.